Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of NBA. Because you had a bad day, you take one down, you sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie, you both got a smile.
Are he having a bit of a bad day, Jace? Bit of a bad day.
I didn't up until
half an hour ago when I heard the terrible news that LeBron James is going back to his number 23 jersey next year, even though like literally 4 weeks ago I brought his number 6 jersey for half price.
And what did I say? Really? I said he seen you coming.
He seen me coming. He claims it's for respect out of Bill Russell, but
I'm so glad I don't really like a whole lot of recent players that I'd buy jerseys for at the moment, because yeah, I'd be exactly the same. I'd be kind of filthy about that, like the whole, not so much the changing teams thing of it, but yeah, if he's doing that, it's just like, oh no, screw it, I'm just gonna go back to 23.
I'm not against changing teams. Like, it's the number change that really pisses me. Or on any team. Like, if you're there for ages and you, it'd be like Lillard changing from 0 to 5 as an example. Sure. No, that's why I just officially told my wife that I'm never buying a current player's jersey ever again.
I've got a bomb. The funny thing is, the most current player that I reckon that I'd have jersey would be James Harden. And it was about 15 teams ago, a Houston Rockets one.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about him today. So hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. We thought with this one we'll touch on all NBA. So we'll touch on the NBA finals and then a bit of the offseason, the draft, the free agency, and some trades that have happened here, there, and everywhere.
Free agency is kind of booming when it lit up, over a week ago now. So it's
I love how it starts at midnight, but you know, somehow you can work out $160 million deal.
Of course.
So no tampering at all. But yeah,
Woj and Shams are just all over it.
Yeah, clearly. We'll start with the finals. That was the Denver Nuggets beating Miami 4-1.
The Nuggets only lost 4 games the whole playoffs.
Correct. They did.
That's crazy just, dominance.
Just dominant, destined. I honestly thought going in, really even just after game one, I couldn't see how Miami could stop Denver. And I'm not just going to say Jokic. I just mean Denver as a whole. I think, Murray, especially in game 3, Murray had a great game. Michael Porter Jr. did what he needed to do, which was very refreshingly good to see. And the same
thing. He was still inefficient shooting, though.
No, but correct. But I'm saying I don't think his role is of what he probably wants, which is fine. I think... he would like possibly a bigger role, but, you know, when you've got a 7-foot-plus Serbian guy that can dominate every facet of every stat, you kind of need to take a back seat.
That's the thing. Everything runs through him. So that's the part of, like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's the part of the offense that's, I guess, unique to Denver is – Everything runs through the center, which is very, you know, very, you know, new NBA, or not new NBA like, but you know, new recent NBA like, where you know you've got ball dominant point guards that are scorers, and yeah, that a lot of the offense is run through Jokic because he's such an amazing passer. He's got great court vision. You know, he sees the game. It's uncanny how his anticipation is, but not so much just offensively, but it's his passing that I think is his greatest. That's his greatest asset.
Oh, it is. It is. You can see it when he plays. Like, his vision. Oh, look. I assume every 7-foot player should have that kind of vision. The vision definitely, but I think not many 7-foot people that have that vision have that his amazing handles and can pass the ball like him. That's to me the most dominant thing that he does compared to any other 7-foot player. Shoots, yes, in the paint, yes, everything like that. But I think
he's almost like KD. He's got an almost an impossible shot to block, even if you're the same sort of height as him, or, you know, or round about that sort of, you know, 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot, because he shoots it over the top of his head. So it's near impossible. It's near impossible to stop. He's got unbelievable touch and finesse for a big guy. It's amazing what he does at the size that he does, and at the pace sometimes that he does it as well, because it's almost a slow motion, you know, type game, but it still can't be stopped.
No, it can't be stopped. And they tried. I think it was a game. Yeah, it was game two that they won. They tried and they nullified it in that game pretty well. I think it was, if I remember correctly, because I think, yeah, so Bam on that game too, Bam was sort of smothering him a fair bit, which means he was fairly
aggressive on him the whole series.
Well, the whole series, but I just remember that game too, which kind of took away his offense, but then they needed someone to step in up in that, and that was game three. That was Gabe Vincent. And then when they had to push out to Gabe Vincent, then they used Bam in the middle. So it was just, it kind of worked. But then again, after that, they fixed their issues.
No, well, that's right. And that's it's sort of, you know, between the difference between game one and game two in the series was open shot making, really. Like, you know, Strus was 0-for-9 for 3. Caleb Martin was 1-for-7. Like, they just had an absolutely brutal shooting night. Mm-hmm. when it came to that, they did step it up a little bit in the fourth quarter of game one, but it was too little too late. Miami couldn't get to the free throw line because they basically turned into a jump shooting team. Yeah. They couldn't hit the open shot. And you jump to game two, it's the other way around. They were making the open shot. Strus was making them. Caleb Martin was making them. Kevin Love gets the start to try and spread the floor a little bit more, which I thought was an interesting sort of change between games one and game two, to try and, I guess, get the split on the road, which is the perfect scenario for Miami. They get it. You know, Duncan Robinson has a fourth quarter that was unbelievable. He was like 4-for-4 from the field. He had 10 points. He's mean mugging. It's just like, what is this? Like, you know, this, you could say that there was probably the writing on the wall of a gentleman's sweep, if not a sweep. But when Miami did this, you know, in game two, it's like, oh, wow. Like, you know, this going back to Miami, 1-1, maybe there's something to this. And It just didn't eventuate. Like you said, game three, Murray was on fire. The Heat didn't turn the ball over, but yet they couldn't get close. How does that efficiency?
Both of them. Murray had 34 in that game, and Jokic had 21 rebounds. Someone that doesn't rebound that much, they both had 10 assists each. Yeah, it was. They were both awesome in that
Murray's
game.
Assist numbers in that series were crazy.
But you're right.
But that's not who he is because everybody goes off of what Jokic does, and he had multiple 10 assist games in that series, which that's not what Murray is. You know, he's a straight scorer. You know, he's good off the dribble, and he's a good 3-point shooter. So that's where that sort of came from, but it was you know, just one of them games where Miami played as about as perfect as they could, and still couldn't get the job done. Still couldn't score 100 points. Like the only game that they scored 100 points in this series was the game that they won.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Everything else was a grind down, you know, grind it down type of game that Miami likes.
Yeah,
but they just did not have an answer for the efficiency of what Jokic was. Even though I thought, you know, Bam played him fairly. Bam was the Heat's best player this series.
I think Butler didn't do the Butler final things that we were all pretty accustomed to. So
he ran out of gas.
That's right. He did run out of gas. I think that was really evident on that game four, actually, where the Nuggets won, where he was trying to you had Bam on Jokic, and he was trying to size up Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon kind of ran amok on him. He got 27 points in that game.
Yeah, Gordon started off that game on fire.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, but he was great in that game. He was efficient. It was just a simple, like you said, it was a simple run out of gas thing.
The other thing is too, like, yeah, okay, you can say that Jimmy's run out of gas a little bit too, but he needed some help. Like Strus, Vincent, and Caleb Martin, like they're guys that were pretty solid for them. Yeah, their regular season numbers were up significantly in the playoffs. Got them to where they were. Got them to an unlikely final spot. And for at least four of the five games, two, if not three of those guys were non-existent offensively. And you just can't have that.
Yeah, that's right. But again, on the flip side, that's how they got to the finals.
That's how they got to where they were. And
he coached and everybody stood up when they needed to. But in this kind of game, it had to have your big people like your Bam, who did, I suppose.
No, that's fair enough. But they've still got to do something. Like they've got to do something.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And I still think. I mean, it looked pretty evident to me that Denver were going to win, but I still think Miami were just missing something. Maybe it was just simply out of gas. I don't know, but I think Miami was missing something. They just couldn't, especially the winning game five. They just couldn't. They couldn't, even though it was kind of a low-scoring, grind-out game, they just couldn't stay with the Nuggets.
No, that's it. And look, you know, it got tight down the end of the stretch. You know, that they got real sloppy in the fourth quarter. It got real sloppy in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. I think everybody had the jitters. There was turnovers. There was everything. There was like Jimmy Butler in that game five was just he was brutal. He was brutal. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, yeah, Miami start to come back. They start putting points on the board. Butler had 14 straight points himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He had heat check threes that were going in. You're just like, holy mackerel, like what is going on? But when you break down first half, or you know, you break down the game into two halves, like even in the second half, the Heat were 14 for 47 from the field.
Yeah,
like you can't do that. And then all of a sudden you have your heat check, you have Butler in a 3 minute span have 14 points by himself, and then go, oh well, here we go, and then nothing.
It's like,
okay,
happened.
Well, he's got us back there. Where's the help? Yeah. Like help me out, Bam. Help me out, Strus. Somebody make an open shot. Just get Duncan Robinson into something. Somebody make an open shot for me, and nobody could.
And that's what happened. He started. You're right. He started out tight, but then no one else could make it. They only finished with a paltry 34% in that game on the field goal percentage, which is terrible. He was 5 out of 18 for his 21 points.
No, that's right. And that's the thing. He's 21 points. He had seven. He had 7 points. Up until he was 2 for 11 or 2 for 12 or something like that, until you know that 14 straight points that included the I thought, which well, I think a contentious call really to sort of get them right back into the game, that how high, yeah, it looked like he jumped 2 foot in the air on that corner three. And to me, I thought it was an unnatural leg movement kick out.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the three. Well, you know, he gets the foul. It's challenged. The referees go to the challenge, but yeah, go to the replay center, and everybody on commentary is just like, well, he's kicked out. So, you know, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, Mike Breen are all saying he's kicked out. It's an unnatural motion. Mm. He's done that to draw the foul. And then it comes back that it's a common foul, and he's shooting three free throws, and it's like, well, hang on a minute. Like, these guys, how do they come to that? You could see that it was an unnatural leg kick out. Not, you know, and I'm rooting for Miami as much as anybody. And it's like, well, that's not the right call. Are they doing this in the context of the game? Oh, well, if he gets these three free throws, then they're back. I think they were back within four. It's just like, no, you can't do that. Like, that wasn't the right call. I didn't like it.
Do you like, it's similar to what I was going to say, but do you like, I know we're sort of skipping over a little bit, but do you like now having the call where if you do a flop or something like that, that you, it's an automatic one free throw now in the new rule?
Well, I know we're skipping ahead, so it's just because you brought it up. The new interpretation of how they're going to sort of rule on flops. I mean, it's still up to referee's discretion on what it is. Like that's going to be the part of it. Like that's hopefully it will sort of eradicate it out of the game fairly quickly when you're penalized, you know, in that fashion. So I'm not sure how it will work. I think that there'll be a few bugs to sort of, you know, iron out. Yeah. In the first season of it, because all the referees then have, and there's, you know, how many, you know, referees are in the NBA? There'd be 50 plus. So probably even more than that. So you've got to get all of those guys on the same page, and they're, you know, each officiating crew will be doing different teams, different nights. So, you know, teams would be getting used to being officiated by one crew. Oh, well, that crew said that this was a foul, but you're not. So, you know, players get frustrated as well.
True. I mean,
they've got no choice but to try and do it and try and eradicate it out of the game.
That's right. No, they have to. Was there anything else you needed? We needed to touch on the finals before we move on to off season.
Look, you know, there's still plenty, whether it's statistical or, you know, things I thought that were fairly interesting about it. You know, 47 years that the Nuggets have been in the league, and that's the longest drought for a team that old for an NBA championship. Four losses in the playoffs. Jokic and Murray, the first duo ever in finals history to average 25-5-5. That's just not what Jamal Murray is. He's not a fantastic facilitator, not to the level of what Jokic is anyway. And I think Jokic in that series only averaged like seven assists per game, which is down on his regular season statistics. He almost averaged a triple double. So
with Miami, you want to throw statistics in there? Miami, first play-in team to actually not only get in, but then make the finals.
And then make the finals, that's right.
Yeah, not only to get in from the play-in, but then make the actual NBA finals. So,
and be 5 minutes away from being eliminated by Chicago. In the 7-8. In that final sort of play-in in that game, I think they were down. I think they were down five with 3 minutes to go or something like that. So, you know, for them to sort of, you know, muster up.
They're nearly gone.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
They realistically shouldn't have made it. They got beaten pretty soundly in their first playing game.
Atlanta wiped the floor.
And so, like, to go from that to this.
They were the seventh seed, so they had all the advantages. They had both home games, and Atlanta went in to Miami and waxed them. Chicago comes in and nearly knocks them off. It was crazy. It was just, I guess, you know, you could sort of say that sort of paved the way, you know, that they got a different path because they finished in the seventh seed, but they ended up having to play the eight seed's path to get to the finals, you know, and they did what they did. They knocked off the Bucks, who nobody thought was going to happen. So it was, an extremely unlikely road to the finals. And now I think, you know, the big question is, like, you know, we know that look, and free agency hasn't really been that kind to Denver. They have lost a few players out of this championship team already. But to me, I think more focus on what Miami needs to do in the offseason.
Well, I was about to say free agency probably technically hasn't been kind to Miami either.
No, but that's the thing that they've got. What have they got to deal? They can't trade for anything. They've got no assets. Nobody wants the assets that they have. Yeah. Or the assets that they want to make available. That's more what I'm trying to say. Because they don't. They obviously want to keep Jimmy and Bam. And I would think that everybody else is open slather.
I would assume. But we'll move on. Well, we'll move on to start talking about that because that was sort of free agency trades. We could sort of get all the like in because I think even when we're talking NBA draft, we don't have to touch much on the NBA draft because it was, one, pretty boring, I guess, in a way, two. Except
we all knew. There was a little bit of conspiracy, you know, sort of going around between the second and third pick that Shams had sort of come out and said the night before that there was, he was getting really, really big rumblings of Brandon Miller going number two and not Scoot. Or was it the other way around?
You're right. There was rumblings of that, and
I'm right. Yeah, it's the other way around. That they were looking at, and it changed the betting. So that's sort of the fallback of. So a lot of people started to put money on Brandon Miller to go number two, and then all of a sudden it's just like, there it is. Like where did that info come from? You know, 12 hours before the draft.
Well, had been flown to Charlotte for a second private workout, and both were good. But of what I heard out of that, reading out of that, I didn't hear, I don't have connections. What I read out of that is
why not?
Is that, because I don't know Michael Jordan that well. Because it was obviously his last decision before the team sort of eventually sold and all that. And he just
isn't that interesting.
Just like Brandon Miller's workout, just over Scoot. I think personally that I like Brandon Miller, and I think he'll be decent. But I personally think Scoot could have been like there. I know LaMelo, but I also think LaMelo and Scoot could have been just. I think Scoot's going to be an all star pretty quickly. I just think he is a ready made player. He's built. He's pretty aggressive. I just watched a couple of summer league games and him getting to the hoop. I guess I understand it's against, but there's a couple of year one players in there. He's pretty goddamn dominant already.
I'd personally wait until we sort of see some real action. Correct. I guess preseason sort of stuff because summer league is. Yeah, summer league is just an excuse to sort of be watching basketball on TV at the moment. So yeah, I haven't watched too much summer league and taken too much stock what's doing what in the summer league.
I just want to know if that's going to come back to bite them. That's all, the Brandon Miller Scoot one.
I mean, quite possibly, but I think Charlotte have made the right move positionally in picking.
Yes,
Miller.
Positionally, I agree with that.
But it's also the conundrum of you've got that high pick, you just take the best available player and make do. Like, you know, can that can that work? Like, you know, that's the part of it.
Did you read that this was the there's a conspiracy rumor, it's a hilarious one that was thrown around that Jordan took Brandon Miller because of Portland, obviously, just to give Portland something, because how Portland should have taken him in the draft when he was drafted at number two.
Cool. Wow.
So he thought he'd help out them, help out them for one last thing. He could help them out just to say sorry that you should have taken me and took Brandon Miller to give him Scoot.
Should have taken me instead of Sam Bowie.
To give him, that's what I mean, to give him Scoot. So he reckons Scoot was a present for them to say, you know, to basically say, sorry, it didn't work out for you. You should have had me instead of Bowie. So, look, I think they'll both be good. I just, on face value, I just think at the moment, I like Scoot better. But, like, that's just face value at the moment.
No, that's right. That's right. And, you know, you can hopefully that LaMelo Ball plays more this season or this upcoming season than he played last year, because he didn't play very much at all. So, and that's one of the reasons why Charlotte had an insanely high pick, was because of the injuries that sort of decimated through there, and a not very good roster construction and you know, things like that. So that's one of the reasons why you know, they were in that. You know who I feel so sorry for, or bad for, in, you know, throughout the draft process and everything of that, was the Pistons. They're royally screwed, man. They are royally screwed. Worst record in the league, and they drop all the way to 5. That's brutal.
And take and probably get the Lester Thompson twin by the sound.
That's right. Man, now we got to take a Sia Thompson. Like, you know, we would have liked the other one, but that's and you know, when it comes to team construction, again, might not be the worst pick, but that's brutal, man. To be the leading contender in the Wembanyama sweepstakes, and you get duped all the way to 5, and San Antonio just sweeps in and goes, "Hey, guess what? We're back again."
I have to find the thread that I wrote. I wrote that, and I'm talking months and months and months before this happened, that San Antonio were going to get the number one pick. Because it's just going to fall easy for them, a la Tim Duncan, you know.
David Robinson.
It was just going to fall for them, and it just happened. But
that's the funny thing. Like, Tim Duncan, they had one awful season. One.
Just.
and then, bam. Oh, thanks for coming, Tim Duncan. Like, you know, awesome. Generational talent. Yeah. Has it happened again?
Oh no, it did. It happened this year. Had one crappy season they had, and boom. They've been
pretty ordinary for a few
years. They were going ordinary, but they were specifically terrible last year. So do you think, going on the draft, before we touch on those other bits for the off season, this draft felt, except for obviously Wembanyama, he was gonna go first, no matter if your team had 3 centers. He was always gonna go first. The draft, and sometimes I worry about this, you know, thinking of someone like a Kawhi that was drafted in the middle, of Giannis, things like that. This draft seemed very fit friendly compared to other seasons or other drafts. Like, as in, like, you said it twice. Like, you said maybe the fit will be good for that team. Maybe the fit will be good for that team.
Yeah,
which is great, and I get it. If
teams might actually be catching on. Like, you know, let's draft to our needs rather than drafting the best player available it work.
But sometimes that can come back to bite you, that you have a draft of the best player. So it's the NFL.
You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Like, either strategy that you have, like, do you know what I mean? There will always be a look back on stuff. There will always be regret unless you get, you know, an absolute star. You know, there's always the comparisons you go back to. Was it the 08 draft where it was at Minnesota, picks Johnny Flynn at number 7? Was it number 7? And who was the next player to come out? Well, Steph Curry. Whoops.
But
saying that, you know, Steph Curry didn't have the most prestigious college career at Davidson. He wasn't at a big school. He had that insane run, you know, in the NCAA tournament. And that's all people really knew about him. And then it started to get a little bit of, you know, note that, oh, that's Del Curry's kid. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, maybe he'd be good. Do you know what I mean?
Except for there was listen to an interview, a person that didn't think that Steph Curry would be good, remarkably, and had it in, like, spoken word, was Kobe. He said he's just a skinny kid out of Charlotte. He thinks is going to be good. The people may be sleeping on him. God damn, he's a smart man.
He does. He's done all right. That's a glaring one, you know, in recent drafts. But you know, this year,
recent-ish as well. Giannis falling, obviously 14, 13, 14, same thing.
Jokic, second round. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there are gems to be found, you know, outside the lottery. There are gems to be found. It's just team situation. It's coaching personnel. It's a lot of things go into making the player great. Like, you know, yeah, as well as the player themselves. And like you said, fit draft. You know, for me personally, you know, I think the Pels couldn't have got a better pick at 14 than Jordan Hawkins. Like, he was second or third for the year shooting threes, and that's exactly another thing that they needed to pick up on. He is a perfect plug and play.
He was a player to
come straight in and make an impact, even if he only plays 10 or 15 minutes a game.
He was my – so I had down Jordan Hawkins as – like a potential steal. I also had that Keontae George at 14 to Utah. I think he'll be a potential steal. I look back at his stuff. They both of those, and in really good teams, like really teams that, like the Hawkins, I think, can play some decent minutes this year, same as George for Utah. So
yeah, I think so.
No, thought the same thing. What about the free agency? You know, I guess sort of that started off with it, not just so much of the bang, but just some, you know, decent money got thrown around. Any big standouts for you? I mean, there's a lot to go through, but
man, there was some money got tossed around, like, and like, you know, and mediocre money too. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'd say mediocre player, but you know, for guys that can be, I guess, contributors to teams, but you know, some of the stuff. You know, there's guys that are opting out of their, you know, the final years of their contract and testing the free agent market and blah blah blah, and you're just like, oh well, you know, well, where are the offers coming from? The very first deal that was made at, you know, midnight and 5 seconds was Draymond Green.
And 5 seconds, yeah, you what?
That was the first thing that came across, because I was on night shift. I was sort of, you know, I'd been listening to the radio, like I've been listening to ESPN radio, and that's that was the thing, like, you know, that day, and you're just like, man, here it comes.
Four years, $100 million. I think, you can say what you want about Draymond, but I think he's still one of the best defenders in the NBA at the moment. And for a $25 million a year deal, even though he's 33, isn't too bad for the Warriors. I mean,
I'm not mad at that.
Well, and I would say this is all just keeping Steph Curry happy. I don't think he was going to move anywhere, Steph Curry, but I'm just saying, like, I feel bad for Jordan Poole, to be completely honest. Like, something bad happens. This is like something bad happens to Jordan Poole at the start of the year, and it's like Draymond gets rewarded for it.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Yeah, and it absolutely affected Poole's performances this year. He was nowhere near as good as what he was the year before.
Mm-mm. No, he wasn't.
I felt bad for him. He got dealt fairly quickly. out of there, and then he ends up, I don't know, in a fairly good situation for him at Washington, I guess.
I think so. We'll touch on a couple of things with that then. You could probably even scale it right back. I mean, if we're talking that, we could probably go all the way back, because it's all going to tie into it. The Suns are trading for Bradley Beal, Jordan Goodwin, and Isaiah Todd, and the Wizards started off with a bang and picked up Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, that number 7 pick from the Pacers, and I'm not going to say it, but go through them all, but 20,000 first and second round
pick swaps. just 50 pick swaps. So, like, it's just...
But they didn't rest on their laurels that long. They then moved Chris Paul on and picked up, like you mentioned, Jordan Poole. Ryan Poland, Patrick Baldwin, a couple of second rounders. But I think that Jordan Poole piece...
They also got a 2030 protected first as well.
Yeah, they do.
A long way down the line, but still, that's a nice little little insurance policy.
Especially for the Warriors, like, they'll be competitive, but you know, if it's a top 20 protected, but if it's just
6 years away, who the hell knows what the shape of the league is then?
Some of these trades with these 2030 picks and all that, like, it's
ridiculous.
It's just
that they want to worry about flopping and all that. That's the kind of crap that they should be starting to crack down on. It's just like, look, you can't. I know that what they do is you can't trade first back to back years. Right. So that's fair enough. But now it's just like they're throwing out protected first in 2030.
Yeah. So they're just doing it every second year. They're just ballooning it out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, it's.
What about the Van Vliet deal? 3 years, $130 million to the Houston Rockets.
It's quite large. I'll say that, quite large. That's 40 plus a season. Look, he didn't have the greatest year this year at Toronto. I'm glad that he still parlayed that into a massive contract. I think he can be. I don't know. I guess he can be a fairly good contributor to a super young Houston team. I still don't think they're going to get a whole lot of wins to start with. They need to start, sort of ponying up on potential with some of their guys that they've had over the last couple of years. So, but he could be a really good sort of, older head in the locker room. So it's an investment. In trying to get the better out of their younger players.
I like the move. I just don't like what they paid for him, which is probably that's right.
It's same as the excessive.
I think they just had some money there, so they just decided we got to spend it, and there was
right too, because every team, for those that don't know about what how the salary cap works, for you have to spend 90% of the cap.
You have to have 90% of the cap on your books there's a certain date. Correct.
And it's late in the season too. It's even after the All-Star break. Like, you've got to have 90% of that cap on the books. But I think it's March or February or March or something like that. It's pretty crazy. So they're just spending the money that they have to, but they're trying to spend it on the front end rather than trying to fart ass about. Yeah, during the season to try and spend the money. May as well spend it up front.
They had to spend it there. I didn't think they should have spent 4 years, $86 million on Dylan Brooks.
That is complete and utter insanity.
That move was... I'm not the biggest Dylan Brooks fan. I know he's an okay defender, but I just think that is insane money.
Is that what you want to, sort of have running around in the locker room influencing the young guys that are there? Be a pest.
No, of course not. No, of course not. He didn't.
I can't believe that towards the end of the season, all the junk that he talked. It's what I do. I poke bears. Blah blah blah. Like, good on you, mate. Like, you got yourself in the limelight for 5 seconds, and then you get absolutely destroyed by LeBron. round of the playoffs. It's just like, just go away. Just go away.
I thought he was, the way they were talking, he was gone. And then all of a sudden now he's like signing $80 million contracts. So I don't like that move. I mean, there's a couple other big ones. Kyrie staying in Dallas, 3 years, $120 million. I think they were basically going against themselves on that one.
Yeah, no,
they
drove the price up on their own bidding. So I thought that was a bit odd. And I still, man, I don't know what their team construction is going to be and their style of play next year. Like I just they were awful towards the end of the year, and Jason Kidd's got to figure this out and quickly.
Because they're going to lose someone. You know, that's my bold prediction. If they don't figure it out, he's going to sign somewhere else. Luka.
Well, Kidd will get the ass before Luka goes anywhere.
I agree that, but if they don't do something, Luka will go to another team.
No, that's I mean, it's just two totally ball dominant guys that have got to try and learn to play with each other, and one of them's going to have to learn to be a catch and shoot. And I don't think it's going to be Luka.
No, I don't think it's going to be Luka at all.
So that's, I mean, team construction there for Dallas is that, I don't know. I wouldn't say panic stations, but just going off the sample size that we've had with Doncic and Irving, not good.
I think Lakers did a pretty good off season. Personally, so got 4 years, $54 million for Austin Reeves, but I'm surprised no one else decided to put in an offer.
So they got he got no offers at all. That's it.
Technically, he got no offers at all. Then technically,
wow.
He should have been getting 4 years, $80 million. They were said they would have matched it, but for any team could have done it.
Wow. And
could have drove the price up the Lakers. So that was pretty good business. Rui, 3 years, $51 million. D'Angelo, 2 years, $36 million. I'm sort of, you know, whatever. Gabe Vincent, 3 years, $33 million. That was really good.
That's a massive get, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we said, the free agency has been kind of cruel to the Heat. Like they've lost, they lost Gabe Vincent. They lost Strus, you know, in a sign and trade to Cleveland. You know, they get compensation in a worthless second round pick. And the third team in that deal was the Spurs, and they get Seti Osman. So I like that for San Antonio. I don't think that's a bad deal. But yeah, Cleveland got pretty good, or you know, a little bit better by snaring Max Strus. And then signing him to 4 years, $63 million. So you think of that, Max Strus is getting more than what Austin Reeves is.
I know. Yeah, I know. And Dylan Brooks is getting more than all of them. That's what I mean. It's perplexing.
Yeah, no, that's...
And then just to finish us off, we've got a couple of cheapies and may see how they do. But Jackson Hayes, which you know, 2 years, $4 million. That we'll see what happens. 23-year-old center, which is probably not too bad for us to have as sort of that.
No, that's look, and yeah, he's. And he's sort of, yeah, he's an athletic big man, but the Pels totally wasted, you know, a fairly high draft pick on him. I think they did a draft deal with the Hawks to get Jackson Hayes, which I would have much rather them seen pick up Cam Reddish. The league is going to leave it. Well, that's who Atlanta ended up picking in their later pick. I would have much rather him see him get him. Like, he's just bounced around and now he's at the Lakers.
That's right. 2 years, $4 million. Yeah. So that's another decent signing for us. And then the other one was Taurean Prince, 1 year, $4 million from Minnesota. So not a bad little offseason for the Lakers, I thought.
No, there's plenty of signings. Whether that's a good or a bad thing. Now it's all about continuity now and getting on the same page. Yeah, LeBron in his 21st season. Yeah, AD.
AD, health.
Health.
Just say health.
Way, AD, health. And you know, what sort of production they can get now that they've got sort of D'Angelo Russell for another 2 years. You know, can he be a bit more of a spark? Because he kind of flopped a little bit, in the conference semis. In the conference finals against Denver, which they really needed contributions from D'Angelo Russell, and they didn't get it. So to be sort of back in LA and now staying there for another 2 years, quite possibly, that could be a tradable asset. You know, come mid season next year if they don't think it's working. So a good deal all around, really.
For the Australians out there, so the Jock Landau, 4 years, $32 million at Houston Rockets.
I don't mind that at all.
Decent pickup for them.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Hard nose as an Aussie as there's out there. So you know he's as physical a center. You know,
undersized. One of their best in the final series. I mean, obviously not to the level of the other three, but he was other two. But he was one of their best. He was really good in that
Phoenix.
Final
series. Exactly. Yeah, he was. They were trying to body up him. With against Jokic and he be physical. That's what he's out there to do. So, I didn't mind that.
And Big Joe Ingles, 2 years, $22 million to Orlando Magic.
To Orlando, that's right. Yeah,
something different. I didn't expect that, so to speak. I went to sort of
not Orlando. But
no, because they've got a young nucleus. Like they've got a really, I kind of like their squad. If they have one star in there, it'd be interesting to see what, like one big, like imagine again, Damian Lillard in that side. Just imagine with Mo and Wagner and Banchero. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
They'd have to give up one of them to get him. That's the problem.
I don't know. They could probably piece together like they've got picks, some high decent picks. They could probably piece together Cole Anthony. You could probably throw in there. I think they'd take him back, possibly.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably same. Probably
they got a pretty stacked backcourt at the moment too, though. Portland. So,
did you like, just to finish on the free agency? I'm still up in the air with this one. Grant Williams signing with Dallas, 4 years, $54 million. It's not so much the money. I'm just wondering if he fits okay with Dallas. Still 24.
Yeah, look, he's got youth on his side. Look, and once again, yeah, he's a hard-nosed player. You know, he gets in your face. You know, have a look at, you know, in the conference finals, what he did with, you know, with Jimmy Butler and getting in his face. Yeah, he's not afraid of anyone. So, I guess not so much the jury's out, but that could be one of the players that could he could be a really good glue guy. Yeah. You know, so to speak, for the Mavericks. So,
his writing was on the wall when that big June 23rd trade happened with the Celtics getting Kristaps Porzingis, a first rounder, and Marcus Sazer in a three-teamer, actually. So they got that. Grizzlies picked up Marcus Smart, and Wizards got Tyus Jones, Gallinari, Mike Muscala, and Julian Phillips, who was their 35th pick. So
yeah, and then straight up, Porzingis signs 2 years, $60 million. So
yeah,
does that make? Ooh. What do you make of that deal for Boston? Does that make them any better? I don't understand that. There's only one ball.
What was their
glaring issue in the last two postseasons now? Well, they need a ball facilitator for one. They just got rid of one of their best ones, and they don't bring anything back. Now you're absolutely relying on Brogdon.
Derek White was pretty good in that final series. He was one of their best ones in that final series. I wouldn't discount him too much.
No,
but I agree.
Is he better than Marcus Smart?
Possibly not, but. I don't even know about Brogdon, because I think there's a huge injury issue there that they're not talking about. Yeah. That's what happened. That's what the Clippers,
back end of the season.
That's what the Clippers trade fell down. Apparently, he was going to go to the Clippers. That fell down because of health, and they were worried about a couple of issues. Oh yeah, I don't know, because I'm still perplexed with them of why hasn't Jaylen Brown signed his contract yet.
No, he still hasn't signed.
There's something going on there. Like, so because he's technically available. He's technically available for any teams, but I don't think any teams are going to sign him now. So are they just running it out?
Is it 295 or is it north of that now?
Well, because he got that All NBA.
Super Max.
So he can, what can he sign? So he's eligible for a 5-year, $295.
It's $295, yeah.
Super Max. Another team can pay that, even if Brown's trade to Boston isn't hesitant to offer the full 35% he's eligible. Okay, so there you go.
Jaylen Brown's still got 1 year left. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Jason Tatum's still got 2 years left.
So maybe they're just going to wait and see, and if they clearly don't want to sign this, that's how I'm looking, then maybe they might trade him.
Yeah. Yeah, Jaylen Brown's still got 32 mil for 1 year this coming season, and Tatum's got 67 left for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once again, for them, I think for them to reach the potential, you know, obviously they made the NBA finals the year before. They've made the conference finals this season just gone. You know, they're there, but not quite there. And I think for them, a very much ball distributing point guard who's as selfless as they come needs to be on that team. It was a glaring, the Heat nullified some of their big name players. Like Jaylen Brown had a brutal last few games of the conference finals, couldn't go left.
Yeah.
Same thing happened the year before, couldn't go left. So where's the development? This is almost turning into, you know, it's not on as grand a scale as what the Ben Simmons situation is, but where's the continuous improvement? Like if he knows that he can't dribble left, and he knows that he's not the best ball handler, then what are you doing to rectify that over the off season? Because that's where all that shit happens.
Exactly.
It's been 2 years in a row now.
That's probably why they're hesitant to sign him to that 5-year, $295, because then they're stuck with that $50 million a year. They're stuck with it then.
I mean, teams have shown that they can, you know, they can offload contracts, but you know that is the start now of the new generation of Supermax, holy shit kind of contracts. $295 million could be the largest contract in NBA history if it's signed.
Sounds like a lot of money. Trade wise, a few different trades just to finish it off. Patty Mills felt like he got traded about to 16 teams. Ended up.
I think it was 14 teams in like 10 days, something like that.
10 days. He ended up finishing on the. So he started. Where did he go? I had it here. So he went from the Nets. To the Rockets, was that the first one? I think it was the first one. Yeah. So the Nets to the Rockets.
Then he went
just for future draft considerations. That was literally it. Then he went to
OKC.
That's the last. That's where he finished up. So then he went to the Hawks for a second. Yeah, he went to the Hawks for a second, and then OKC is where he ended up. No, sorry, it's the other way. He went to OKC.
Yeah,
in a three-teamer.
They flicked him to Atlanta.
Yeah, that was a big four-teamer. That one, I like that because that was like a sign and trade with Dylan Brooks, etc., like that. So that was sort of all part of that to match up salaries. Clippers. Yeah. Under the radar, got Kenyon Martin Jr. I thought that was pretty good. Young sort of guy probably going to get game time depending on what happens to the health of their two big stars. And then, yeah, he ends up on the Hawks for, and then the Thunder get another pick, Ty Washington, Rudy Gay, and Garuba. So, look, the trades weren't, or at least at the moment, weren't mind-blowing or nothing. Sort of stood out. John Collins finally got traded away from the Hawks. It felt like his name was around forever.
That was around forever. But you're telling me that all Atlanta could get for John Collins was Rudy Gay and a second-round pick.
Yeah. Because everyone knew he was on the trade block forever. No one wanted to give him anything.
That's unbelievable. That's such a great deal for Utah.
Of course it is. Utah are quietly building. Laurie come out of nowhere. No one expected that. But they're quietly going to build a
decent. Yeah, but can you keep that up? That's the thing.
Well, I don't know.
And that's the thing. That's the potential that everybody had seen in marketing in Chicago, and he just never lived up to it. And then wham, one season in Utah, whoosh, there he is. Yeah. You know, Utah keep Jordan Clarkson, you know, I think, which is an unbelievable deal. 3 years, 55 mil.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
such a good deal.
They also, they got the, who was the center that played in that trade with Minnesota? They played out of his skin even last year.
Was it Kessler?
Kessler? No?
Yeah,
Kessler. Yeah, I'm sure it was Kessler. He was really good last year. I'm sure it was Kessler. I need to double check. Yeah, Walker Kessler. Yeah, so he played really good. So
didn't he get picked for the USA team?
Yeah, he did. That's fine. I wonder if we should touch on that. We'll finish on that.
I mean, there's a bunch of nobodies on that team, right? And you'd think that they're just going to stroll through and just destroy everybody in this World Cup coming up. Like, honestly. Like the best player on that team is Brandon Ingram.
You could probably throw Jalen Brunson in there. He's pretty good at the moment, but probably
Ingram. Yeah, well, at least we've seen him a little bit more recently playing.
There's rumor that Jokic might play for Serbia.
Woo!
So that was a
catch. Rubble.
Yeah, exactly right. And Ben Simmons then declared him not ready for Australian side.
Who couldn't see that one coming?
So we mentioned it sort of before, but with Scoot obviously staying in Portland and taking 0-0 or getting drafted by Portland, does Dame get what he wanted and end up Miami, or do Miami just pull the trigger and say screw it, we don't like what we're getting, you can go to this team?
I think he's almost a certainty of still being there in Portland at training camp / preseason.
I agree with you.
It could even balloon on it into January. Like from what I guess both of us have read, then that the Heat deal for him is not attracting the Blazers.
Do you think teams owe players to trade them to where they want?
No, I don't.
No, I don't. I think they. I agree.
Look, they've been loyal. That's awesome.
Extremely loyal.
What a nice parting gift to be sent to South Beach. Like, but you've also got to say we're not just going to give up junk for you. Like you're still, pretty much at the peak of your powers. We're not just going to take any deal. And if you're and that's where it becomes super messy. That if he goes, we'll send you to Orlando because we're going to get back a better package. Then he's I'm just going to be a grumpy superstar. And it's just like, well, that's what I mean. You're painting everyone into a corner. It's just and it's going to be, well, guess what? Like you're just going to be staying on this team. You'll be staying where you are, and is that what he wants?
Not what he wants.
Is that the best of the bad situation at the moment? Because if the Heat aren't willing to make Bam available in this deal, it's not going to happen. They've tried all sorts of combinations with
however many first round picks, Tyler Herro, they don't want.
They don't want Kyle Lowry, even though that's got a good, that's close to compensation money wise. They don't want that. They don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just if I was the Blazers, I'd be like, well, you might want to go there, but they're not giving a shit. So you're just going to have to hang around here until we get something that we want.
They don't have anything. That's right. I don't know if they've got enough to give.
They said it straight up. They don't want Tyler Herro, and that was always going to be the centerpiece.
Well, there's no point. Not when I say there's no point, like, it's kind of like, I don't see what you were getting back value with getting Tyler Herro to put with Scoop. Because Tyler Herro needs a ball in his hand.
That's right. But they've got Scoop. They've got Anthony Simons. They've got Nasir Little. Like, they've got good young guards there. What do they want? Like, he could absolutely help. But then where do you fit everybody in? Like you said, again,
we've got Anthony Simons there. Anthony Simons is there.
Exactly.
He's good. And he if they can pull the trigger on Dame, he needs to move somewhere. They could pick up something as well, I think.
There's still the swirl, before all this started, the swirlings around New York.
Oh, mate, they're sitting pretty, just waiting for someone, for some superstar to say, yeah, I'll go to New York. And I mean, it could be Joel if he gets upset. It could be Giannis. I think that's a ticking clock, possibly. Because
James Harden. Who knows where he lies at the moment? That's all on the up in the air at the moment.
So I think Knicks are sitting back just because they got the assets and certain amount of spot. They could just say, come here, sure. And now they really need to move on as Randall. Jalen Brunson, another star, that'll be pretty exciting.
That's right. So he would be, Randall would absolutely be in the conversation of being part of the package. So unless they want to deal someone like Mitchell Robinson and then elevate the young kid Jericho Sims to the starting center position. So there's also the option there.
I did read a Pelicans draft which had Dame Lillard going there.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that.
I'm just saying because I think it lined up like contracts and everything. I'm pretty sure it was, Brandon Ingram for Dame straight up.
We're just not doing that. we're just not doing that. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, it wouldn't make sense. Not for you guys. So
the McCollum Lillard experiment has run its course. Why do we want to try and run it back?
That's exactly right. No. I think that was what it came up with. Is that it's just going to be the same thing that happened in the Trailblazers.
That's insane. Look, the things that the Pels have done over the offseason, I think are quite positive. The signing of Herb Jones to his rookie extension.
I really hope to God that Zion plays this year, and I really
it's
think
health, he can. And it's not only Zion. That's the only problem. It's not only Zion, it's Ingram as well. And that's why I'm not a fan of him extending his off season into USA basketball. But it could be a good thing. He could get confidence.
Yeah.
And he could come back so much better. But it could be extra wear and tear that they just don't need.
I just think if you can somehow get something of Zion next year.
Hell, that's all it is, man. Look, to start off the season, we were 24-15 and sitting two games behind Denver. What did they do this year? And then they just fell into a big steamy pile of shit towards the end of the season because they didn't have anyone. There was no Ingram, no Zion. It was insane.
I'm just looking at the team that's around Brandon Ingram. you know, Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Jaren Jackson, just a lot of young players, obviously. Austin Reeves squeaked in there.
Well, Halliburton and Anthony Edwards, the newly rich rookie extension class, getting nice. $260 million for 5 years, like, whoo!
I think the coaching bench is better than the actual team. Steve Kerr's head coach, Spoelstra's assistant with Tyron Lue. That's an all-star coaching squad. Jesus Christ. That's going to win it by themselves. You imagine having those three coaches. Oh, my God. That's probably how they're going to win. Literally, that's probably how they're going to win, just from the coaching squad.
No,
Spoelstra, Lue, and bloody Steve Kerr. That's awesome.
We can hope that our Aussie boys can – you know, can snatch themselves a medal again and prove that we're a force in the world game. But that US side, oof, that's going to be tough to overcome.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even know, to be honest, who's your favourites. So at all, I don't know
that wouldn't be a huge sort of betting market. I don't know, that'd be hard to find. I mean, it could be quite easy to find.
Betting market. Yeah. No, I agree. Of course, you go straight to betting.
You're forgetting who you're talking to.
You've got me intrigued now. I want to look at betting. Shout out to Sportsbet. See if we can just sponsor it. Is it? You reckon it'll be available?
Yeah, see, this is nothing. Here we go. FIBA World Cup. Boss. Woo! All right, so the top.
Outrights.
US $1.62. Canada.
Have you seen their team?
I think they've got quite a,
I'm pretty sure it's a decent, I'm looking at it now.
They've got RJ and Jamal.
They got Jamal Murray and SGA.
No, RJ Barrett.
RJ Barrett. So they got Kyle Alexander.
And George Alexander.
Kyle Alexander. Oh, no, he's not. Yeah. RJ Barrett. They got Dylan Brooks. I didn't know he was Canadian. There you go. Dort. SGA. Jamal Murray. Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah.
Dwight Powell. So they've got a pretty.
Oh, that's not a bad squad.
And then we're fourth at $10. $10. See, Serbia at $8 basically means that Jokic must be sniffing around.
He's got to be, because that will drop dramatically if he says he's playing.
He has to be sniffing around with them at $8.
I think so.
It's in the Philippines, you can go for a quick holiday.
All the way down the bottom, we got plenty of 500-1 chances.
Where's Philippines? We might have to start a flight with them again. $276.
They're easy to get under their skin. Even the Kiwis have got better chance than the Philippines. They're kidding themselves.
Slovenia, $10. Well, I wonder why that is. France. I think sneaky France. Is it France? I think it's got a sneaky good squad at $13.
That's all right. That's where it ends, though. And the only reason Greece is $15 is because of Giannis. But is he pulling out?
You would assume.
I thought I'd heard that he was pulling out.
You would assume, but they've, I guess you would assume. I'm not really sure.
If he pulls out, then they got no chance.
Well, they got no chance. That's right. They got no chance even
with him, I think.
Then the balloons out after that. It's at the Philippines, isn't it? Yeah. Thought so. Yeah. This year. Yeah.
Yeah. So at least in our time zone, so that'll be good.
Yeah. What are we, third, fourth? Yeah, so we're definitely in the medal contention.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and we've got a pretty decent squad. I'm really rate Jock Lander. I always did, but I think he proved himself in that final series for the Phoenix Suns.
He'll be key.
And I think he played better than DeAndre Ayton. And he's only, out of all the money that they spent it everywhere, that was probably a four years, $8 million. I think it was pretty good at 25-year-old. So
smart money.
Yeah, definitely.
Unlike what Memphis did not smart money with $207 million going to Desmond Baines.
Okay, so that's what I was going to finish on. It's funny you say that because I did see that. Like, I rate him. I think he's pretty good. I just don't know if he's worth
$200 million. He's not $207 million worth.
Okay,
sorry.
So I thought the same thing. Okay, so I wasn't the only one that thought that alone.
That's pure
People
insanity.
Are going like it's a good signing and all that.
That's pure
insanity. He probably
insanity.
Is a good signing. I just don't know he's worth it, personally.
So, that's pure insanity.
I'm glad you think that too.
Pure unadulterated insanity.
Unadulterated.
Just, you can't, to me, like, Portland forking out 160 for Jeremy Grant for 5 years, I think is, I still think he would have got that from somebody, but. $207 million for Desmond Baines is just that.
Well, no, it was.
Think about it in this context. Okay, think about it in this context, right? And I wrote these two names right next to each other purposely for this. So, who in the hell would you rather have at this price or a very comparable price?
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Would you rather have Desmond Baines being signed to an extension for 5 years at $207 million? Or would you like to have Domantas Sabonis? At a 5-year extension for $217 million.
How old is my answer is Sabonis, but how old is Desmond Bane? I'm just wondering if that was a.
Are they fairly
close?
Are they.
No, Sabonis
is. Sabonis
is 27.
They must be close.
Sabonis is 27.
I wouldn't.
He came into the league late. He's 27.
That's true.
So.
Like, oh, man.
Like, is. Yeah, you're right. Like, is. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Like, his old man. So,
still, I don't care. For an extra $10 million, I would much rather have Sabonis. I specifically wrote those down next to each other to just look at that and then go, they're what now? Like, you know, all-star guy that's never going to make an all-star, you know, the numbers just don't make any sense at all. And now that they've hogtied themselves with that and the Ja Morant contract, because that's gigantic, and he's missing 25 games of the season next year,
this is where Marcus Smart's going to be key for him. So and Jaren Jackson, I like the way Jaren, that's a contract coming up that they're gonna have to worry about. I don't know how they're gonna fit him in now. So he's coming up next year. I just was looking ahead.
That's the thing. So they're one of the smallest market teams, if not the smallest market team in the NBA. So where do they generate the money, and what sort of owner do they have, and do they want to start blowing over the luxury tax?
I don't know what they think.
Because that seems impossible to be able to do.
It all depends what happens with Jar, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's mean. Do you know what I mean? That just seems impossible that a super small market team like that is going to blow the bank and go over the luxury tax like that. Like the Pels aren't. Gail Benson's the owner. She's got more money than friggin' cents at the moment. She inherited. She inherited all the money from a late husband. She owns two teams. She owns the Saints and the Pels. They're not going over the cap. They're not blowing over the cap. And they're in the bottom. They're in the bottom five small markets in the NBA. And I think Portland's one of them as well.
I agree. Which is funny that you say. Hey, I always find that funny how you say it's one of the bottom five markets for the NBA, but it's probably one of the top 10 markets in the NFL. It's weird how there's a conundrum there.
It's always New Orleans has always been a football city.
Oh, right? I agree. That's what I'm getting at. Like it's not sheer of where it is. Like if it's South Beach or Los Angeles, you know, you're going for the weather. But it's funny how there's such a differentiating of a small market for the NBA, but not a small market for the NFL.
See, it's conditions as well, because. You know, if you just go wholly and solely with the Saints, then you got eight games. And that's the thing, you're only playing eight games at home, and then whatever playoffs that you want to play. But it's you know, if you're at Kansas City, then you're playing outside. If you're in New England, you're playing outside. If you're playing in New Jersey / New York, you're playing outside. Whereas if you come to New Orleans, it's going to be a nice temperature controlled dome.
It could be blowing its ass off outside, but it's nicely temperature controlled.
Well, they did that in 2005. It literally was blowing its ass off outside, and that's where as many people bunkered down as humanly possible was inside the Superdome.
That was a smash fest when I finished up, but that Warriors smashed the Sharks 44-12. Jesus.
Ouch.
Well, that will do this NBA. I guess wrap up pod for this week. Go ahead with all our socials because you always do it way better than I do it.
I'm just trying to get prepared like I normally do. But so for all of our socials, you can check us out on Facebook. So you just search Facebook, The Final Play Podcast. We're on Twitter. You can search the handle at Final Play Pod. So you can check us out on Twitter. Give us a follow on there. On Facebook, we always put up heaps of stupid crap on there to try and keep everybody sort of up to date with what's going on in the sporting world. Our pods are available on SoundCloud. So you can check us out on SoundCloud. And they're also available on Spotify. So check us out. That's probably the easiest way to find us, so just search The Final Play Podcast on Spotify, or as well, you can go on Facebook and all the links to our podcasts are all on there. So you just scroll through and then you can click on the link and that'll take you straight to Spotify, and then you can give us a follow on there. We are also gigantic advocates of Gymko. So GIMKO.com.au. Check those guys out for all your sporting card needs. It's at the moment, we're obviously through the NRL and AFL season, so those are always going on. NRL Elite is coming out next month, I think. So check that out. That's the new not the new product, but the mid-season product for the NRL, and that's always got some higher end stuff in it. Pretty sure Dom also has put up a little bit of a pick your team break for the NFL. If you want to get in on that, which I have got in on that, picked up the Saints for $45, which isn't bad. But it's only a four box break. It's I think it's two boxes of Absolute and two boxes of Illusions, I think, which isn't too bad. But So check those guys out. Always a big shout out to Mojo King and Dom for getting that stuff up for us. And they're always giving us a shout out. So we'll always give them a shout out. We're on their podcast network as well. That's on Spotify. So the Gymko Podcast Network. We're also on Gymko's website as well. So you can click on the, I think it's the community section. And then once you click on then, you can click on podcast, and then that takes you straight to where we are, and you can download our podcast from there as well. So that's officially done.
Excellent. Wow.
Actually, you can also check out Gymko or their associated Facebook page on their Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook. So you can check that community out as well, which is growing by the day. And also just a bit of a congratulations to those guys as well. They actually opened up a physical shop, a store in Melbourne. So that's awesome. So yeah, big congrats to those guys running that as well. So that's fantastic that it's not just an online thing anymore. So they are growing, like weeds. So that's a good thing. So yeah, big shout out and congratulations to Gymko on the opening of the new store, and onwards and upwards for everybody.
As long as they don't sell current players' jerseys, I'll be happy.
Well, it's not a current jersey anymore, is it?
Well, no, technically it probably is retro. So that's how I'm finishing. My name's Jason. No more current players' jersey, Smith.
Yeah, I'm Miles Retro Plum, so they're the only jerseys that I have.
Yeah, well, I learned my lesson pretty quickly.
Yeah, so that's me. You just get your favorite player from back in the day, and it never changes.
Well, I would get one of my favourite players, but unfortunately people are exploiting that. We won't go into that.
I would have
that over this any day of the week. But
no, that's right. That's about as disgusting as act as you can get. But yeah,
get six of these for that price of that.
Yeah,
one.
Anyway, exactly.
I'd rather But yes, I think I know my next one.
It's all about timing.
It's all about timing. It is. All right, have a good week, everyone.
All right, thanks, everyone. See ya.